Of course he's playing.
You're out there watching practice.
No way.
Listen. This team is 2-3. You can't go 2-4.
No.
Season's over then. Forget about
it.
No,
it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
If you lose four games, the season is over.
If you lose Jameis Winston because your shoulder gets driven into the turf up there in Buffalo this week, you're
going to
lose Winston the whole year.
Yeah,
no,
you can't.
That's ridiculous. Hang on.
How long has Ryan Griffin been out? How long has Ryan Griffin been out?
Are we live? Oops.
Yeah.
Welcome, Pewter Report readers and listeners, to another edition of the Pewter Nation Argument Cast, Debate Cast, or Pewter Nation Podcast,
debate
whatever you want to call it.
Weird.
Bait Cast. I'm a never mind.
Live bait.
I once was an apprentice baiter, and then I got better at it and became a better baiter.
Oh, sure.
There you go.
See? Oldest dad joke in the world. Anyway, all right. So what we were arguing about when Trevor
Wait, who
sold,
are you?
Oh, I'm Mark Cook,
okay.
Of course, and I'm Trevor Sikkema.
Okay.
I'm Uncle Stan, too. No, I'm not. That's somebody else. You'll never know who it is.
You'll never know.
Mark just revealed that he is the only one actually
on
the podcast.
I know.
We're not here.
I'm doing impressions of Scott and Trevor right now.
And they're awful.
I'm going to work on my Trevor impression. It can't be that hard. You just have to act overexcited about the simplest little things.
Talk with your hands a lot.
A lot with
even
your hands
though it's
on the
a
radio.
Medium.
Right.
Yeah, where it's a medium where people can't see it.
Right, right. And if I do my Scott impression, it'll just be like 4-minute answers to a 30-second answer. You know,
That is not true. I do not carry on. I do not
please stop
do anything
him.
Like
yeah,
that
stop.
Whatsoever.
Pull his plug,
if you
please.
Think that I'm carrying on over some stupid comment that you made, then that's
Look, we are debating, because we are master debaters, we are debating if Jameis Winston is going to play this Sunday. Now,
can we give him the update?
Yeah. Go ahead.
So
go ahead.
It is Thursday.
Tell him what's going on.
It is Thursday.
October.
What's the date? October. What
we
is it? 21st?
19th.
October 19th, 2017.
How, wait,
in the year
he's
of
living,
wait, wait,
wait, wait.
He's
in
the
year
how can you
of
be
our
two
year
days
Lord?
Off?
What?
He's in
how
the future.
I mean, I understand if you're a day off. I've never everybody been like 3 days off and they're guessing the date.
What did I say?
You 29th? Said the 21st.
Oh, I said the 21st?
Yeah, yeah. You're like, in the future, man. Come back.
Sorry.
Yeah, today is Saturday.
So, Jameis was out there again
on
the second day of practice. No. But he doesn't throw. He wasn't throwing.
He threw one ball.
Yes.
He threw like an underhanded ball to a coach.
Yeah.
Look.
Technically, it was overhand, but yeah.
Why does he need to throw? Like he said in his press
conference
today,
shoulders
I've thrown
hurt.
The ball my whole
because
life.
Because that's his job as
but
a quarterback.
So why
is to throw
aggravate
the ball.
It? He's not gonna throw this week. There's no reason for him to throw this week. He's not going to forget. He's been doing it his whole life. The guy will line up under center Sunday. You know why? Because his team is 2-3, and they are desperate.
I was talking to Rick Stroud. I'm going to give him credit for this statement. Talking to Rick Stroud out there from the Tampa Bay Times on the practice field, and he said, if you're not going to play Ryan Fitzpatrick this week, then why do you even have the guy? Like, what's the purpose of having him?
Yep.
This is a guy who, of all the games for him to start, it would be in the stadium where he played at against, you know, the AFC teams that he's done battle against. And the Bills are a team he has battled against and been on the same side of. So I think that you do this. And you got to run the heck out of the football. I mean, whether it's Jameis or Fitzpatrick, you've got to run the ball in order to keep this defense on the sidelines.
You see this hand motion I'm doing?
No.
What am I doing?
No, the people
I'm raising the white flag
the
to surrender
don't.
This season
oh
if you play Ryan
gosh.
Fitzpatrick this year.
Wow. Come on.
You're going 2-4. You can't start the season 2-4
the
and make
Bills
the playoffs.
Aren't
it's not going to happen.
Good.
Really?
Yes.
Who have
Falcons.
They beat this year?
Look, the
no,
Bills
no, no, no.
Aren't
who have they beat this year?
Good.
They're 3-2.
You can't keep saying that.
The Bills aren't that good.
Technically, they're better than the Buccaneers.
The Bills are playing near like perfect football when it comes to turnovers, and that's why they've beaten the other teams that they've beaten.
But that's how the Bucs were playing when they went on their 5-game winning streak last year.
Well,
we're going to get into that.
When the Buccaneers lose, what do they tend to do? Except for the Patriots game.
Well, they turn the ball over.
Thank you. Playing right into the hands of the Bills. And it's Buffalo, guys. It's going to be 2 foot of snow on the ground.
No, probably not.
No?
8 feet?
Maybe.
Doubt
it's going to be chilly.
It might be chilly,
it's going to be like in the 70s.
Will they serve chili?
Probably not.
Probably.
They probably serve wings. Wild
Buffalo wings.
Yeah. What if that's all they served? Every concession stand was exactly the same.
It would be a hell of a concession stand.
Buffalo wings. It'd
probably be the best concession stand ever.
I'd be a fan.
They might have some buffalo burgers up there, too.
Like literal buffaloes?
How do you guys feel about boneless wings?
They're not boneless wings. Those are called chicken nuggets.
Okay, all right. There's your point. What do you think about boneless wings, Scott?
Not a fan.
Okay.
I call them chicken nuggets.
Okay.
literally Saturday night, went to a restaurant to be unnamed, ordered the boneless wings. Literally, I think they were the Tyson frozen things that you microwave.
I don't give a crap, Cook. You need to talk Buccaneer football. I don't care about your damn diet or what you order at restaurants.
That punch is going to scare people if they're like listening to their car or something.
I feel threatened. I'm going to go to HR after this podcast. All right, so the debate is on. Is Jameis going to play? Is he not going to play? I say the guy almost has to play. He's your franchise quarterback. He gives you the best opportunity to win. You've got to find a way to win this football game. You can't come back to Tampa 2-4 and think you're going to the playoffs. It will not happen.
I tell you what.
That might be true.
This defense has played horrible on the road this year, the Minnesota. Actually, dating back to last year, if you look at this, the Buccaneers have lost 4 road games in a row. If you include the Dallas game on Sunday night, and also include the New Orleans game.
Yeah.
They have not played well. And I'm not sure what's going on the defensive side of the ball, but they're giving up yards and points.
Vernon Hargraves.
That's true.
Vernon Hargraves. University of Florida.
Yeah.
Florida Gator.
There you go.
How'd the Gators do Saturday night in their lizard uniforms?
I didn't watch.
That's a smart man.
We already covered that ground.
I watched it.
Did you watch it again?
Oh, yeah. I told Trevor, I literally get more.
That's how bad Florida State football season is.
I get more enjoyment.
He's taping Gator losses and watching it again.
I do get more enjoyment out of watching the Gators lose than the Florida State Seminoles beating the mighty powerhouse Duke 17-10.
Well, I'll tell you what.
This could be a Kansas State fan, though, Trevor.
Yeah, let's get to that. I made some money on my Kansas State Wildcats.
What?
Because I took TCU.
You cannot bet against your home team, your favorite team.
The hell you say.
You can't do
that. I won $15.
That goes against everything.
I don't care.
Oh, boy.
And guess who's betting on Oklahoma? Big on Saturday. This guy.
Yeah, this guy too.
Yeah.
On what?
On Oklahoma beating the hell out of Kansas State.
On what site will you be doing the betting?
MyBookie.ag. And let me tell you, fellas, listen, I cleaned up. College football-wise. NFL, I think I've talked to both of you guys off the record about this. I'm not touching any more action. If the damn Denver Broncos at home cannot beat the winless New York Giants, who don't have any receivers. They played that game with no receivers.
When is the foreclosure sale on your house? Because you told me you were betting the mortgage.
I've talked to the lenders. And thankfully,
you've got a workout plan?
Thankfully, there was a hurricane that hit Florida, so FEMA's buying me some time in order for me to make my payments to get my mortgage back. But I'm planning on winning it all back by betting college football heavy this week. Trevor, I showed you. I'm even doing a parlay this week.
You did. You showed me.
I love parfaits. Go ahead.
I prefer, like remember at Kentucky Fried Chicken, they had those
strawberry one was the
strawberry
best.
Strawberry shortcake part was good. The chocolate parfait was good, too. But mybookie.ag is the place to go if you want to get in on some action. And I'm not a gambling addict, but I really enjoy it.
You are now.
Well, I will be till the money runs out. I'm still up right now, so I'm enjoying it.
Well, that's the key.
When the money
anytime you
want
to get out of the kiddie pool and head to Hard Rock with me, I'll be at the roulette table.
If you pawn your wedding ring when the money goes out, then you may have a problem. But
yes,
until then, you're fine.
That's a telltale sign, correct. But listen, there are all sorts of wagers that you can get in on the action. College football, NFL, NBA, just started, NHL. You can do live in-game betting, and they got the fastest payouts in the business. In less than 2 days, you can have your earnings deposited right into your bank account. So if you're going to take part in any action, go to mybookie.ag. It's the official online gaming website for pewterreport.com. We all take part in it, and right now I'm enjoying the heck out of it.
And the best part is you put $100 in, use the promo code Pewter, they're going to give you $200.
That's right. They will match your deposit. Put in $1,000.
It's free money, people.
And they're going to give you $1,000 deposited into your gambling account.
Yeah, so. I've been to a lot of casinos in my life, and I've never put in $100, and they gave me $200. It doesn't work that way.
It didn't work that way. But at mybookie.ag, it does. Just mention Pewter. That's our promo code. Mention pewterreport.com and our Pewter Nation podcast, and they'll get you set up with your account, and they'll match your deposit.
All right, now, I wonder if there's a bet out there if Jameis Winston's going to play.
Not going to play.
He's playing.
He's not going to.
Why wouldn't he play? It's only Thursday. You act
because
like this is Saturday night.
There's not going to be any line on this Bucs game.
There's not. Yeah.
No.
I don't think
you're not
going
to be able to bet
on it. It's going to become a game time decision, too.
Yeah.
Unless he's ruled out.
Which is possible on Friday.
Yes, but I don't think it's going to happen. I think Dirk Cutter,
I don't think the
gamesmanship of it.
Right.
You want the Buffalo Bills to have to burn practice time studying Jameis Winston and Ryan Fitzpatrick tape.
Is there a rule against this? Like, is there a rule of how kind of manipulative you could be on an injury report?
Nope.
So you can,
Bill Belichick.
So you can do whatever you want on an injury report?
Yes.
Other than obviously, like, say a guy's going to be out and then play him.
Yeah. But you well, I mean, if you recall, I believe Brent Grimes was listed as questionable or doubtful for the Minnesota game, and then he was out. He was a
yeah, he was
a
questionable.
Game day.
Right.
Questionable, out, right. Yeah. So he went but from 50% to zero on game day.
But that doesn't – that obviously, like, that doesn't help the Bucs. But I just – I wondered if there were any – if you could get into – you could – the NFL would probably fine you if you were
yes, a jerk some shenanigans.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they can take away draft picks. They can fine. They can do stuff like that.
Oh, take away draft picks.
But I believe that at the very least you're going to see Jameis Winston listed as questionable or doubtful on the Friday injury
report. I don't
even
think they're going to put him as doubtful. I think they're just going to keep him questionable the whole time, even though I'm with you.
Yeah.
I don't think he plays.
You guys are apparently listing him as out. I'm listing him as probable.
All right.
Probable.
Probable what?
Probably going to play.
All right. Probably going to have a hurt shoulder on Sunday.
Yeah. He's going to have a hurt shoulder the rest of the year. It's going to be sore. Are we going to give him 6 weeks off so he can heal up?
Who were the quarterbacks at their practice? We saw Jameis Winston, Ryan Fitzpatrick. Who is the other guy? Ryan
Lindell.
Griffin. That's right, yeah.
Gryffindor.
Ryan Gosling.
Yeah, so Ryan Griffin was out there. And he'd returned to practice this week.
Ryan Gosling.
When did he get hurt, Trevor?
Oh, training camp. Or no, first preseason game against the Bengals.
Middle of August, right?
Yeah.
So how many weeks has he been out?
Off the top of my head, I'm going to go with many.
Like 8 weeks?
So apparently, you didn't listen to my question I asked Dirk on Monday at the press conference. When I said, is this anything like Ryan Griffin's injury? He goes, no, not even close.
True.
Not even close.
Exactly. That's my point.
No, your point is going to be
if Ryan
Griffin's
AC joint injury was 8 weeks, and it was more significant than Jameis Winston's,
mm-hmm.
are we to believe that it's, you know, 1/8 of the injury?
No.
To where he's only going to miss
no.
1 week? No, it's not.
He's fine. You guys are just doomsday forecasters.
I'm a realist.
Hey, that's when
keeping it real.
Hey, that's when weather channels make the most money.
That's no, right. That's
30%
true.
Chance for rain.
I'll call you a bunch of Jim Canna Tories or whatever his name is in here.
We are right in the eye of the hurricane here, Winston Watch, baby.
Yeah, you guys are screaming.
We
the wind's blowing.
We got a
this is Hurricane Jameis rolling through
right?
here.
Wearing your rain suits, popping in the wind. Oh, no, Jameis can't play. Oh, they're going to have to amputate his arm.
I was talking to somebody before Hurricane Irma came around, and they're like, They were like, I don't really care if we're in an evacuation zone, but if Cantori comes here, I'm leaving.
Yeah.
That's the time
to
get out.
That was what they said. They're like, all the other, you know, the government saying it's an evacuation, that's fine. If Cantori comes here, we're out.
By the way, is this a good look, the way I'm sitting here?
I can only see about half of it.
You need
and
to
it's
snap
like
a look
a good
at this.
Half,
this is a good look.
So
I shudder to think what people are thinking right now.
I'm going
to
take. We're going to have you take a picture of this afterwards. We'll tweet it out, and we can have a Twitter poll.
This
is
not like a smooth
poll.
Jazz podcast.
Yeah,
where you just sit, lay back.
I'm just
know?
Trying to make my back not hurt so bad right now.
All
right. Anyway, all right. So, Jameis has a bad shoulder. I got a bad back, but I'm probable for the game on Sunday.
You know, he's probably going to play. It's Quan Alexander, right?
Yeah, right? Sure he is. I don't buy that for a second.
So wait,
I don't either.
Hold on. Jameis is
yes,
playing.
Yes, the moon landing was fake and wrestling is real. Yes, that's my theory about this Buccaneer team.
I will agree with you there.
Okay, good.
Right. I won't agree with you with the Bucs team part.
I'm not. I
remember looking
Quan
Alexander in the face and him telling me after the Bears game, oh, yeah, I'll be out there on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to play next week in Minnesota.
I talked to him.
And I was like, okay, Quan.
I talked to him after the Patriots game. He's like, yeah, you know, 10 days to heal up, I'll be fine. I'll be out there. No, I didn't see him. You know when I'll believe Quan Alexander plays again?
When he's actually on the field
in the third quarter. It's going to take until the third quarter for me to believe it, that he's actually out there.
Okay. Everybody who's watching the game, take a screenshot of your TV when Quan's out there in the first two quarters and just tweet him at Mark.
We'll see. And also take that same screenshot when Jameis takes the first snap from under center against the Bills.
You can also do that if you would like.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. But anyway, it needs to happen. Jameis needs to be fine. He needs to go to a magic shaman. He needs to go do ayahuasca in South America.
Pat Murray knows a guy.
Go to Pat Murray's medium. It doesn't matter. Some way, somehow, Jameis Winston needs to be out there. Yes, Ryan Fitzpatrick came off the bench cold, looked fine the other day. Listen, Buffalo Bills, you guys were talking about him going up against his former team, this and that, means nothing. It's a completely different team, new
it
personnel,
is.
New coaching staff. I mean,
but
maybe he's got to
– Hold on. The uniforms are the same, though, Mark. Okay.
Well, that's true, and it's the same stadium.
It is.
He understands the winds coming off of the river up there and Niagara Falls and all that
Correct.
Stuff.
Yeah. Like
so anyway.
The frothing foam that blows in from.
And he's played in snow before, so he'll be fine on Sunday.
Exactly.
2 foot. Guarantee it. Mark it. All right, so enough about Jameis Winston.
We got to have a segment called Mark It Down.
Mark It Down.
Yeah.
But the Cook Guarantee, as it's called. Meaning, whatever I say, always bet the opposite.
It's not a, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
I will guarantee the Seminoles beat the Gators this year.
I'll have to ask mybookie.ag if they can put the market down line on there.
Yeah.
I just want to cut out of it, though.
Yeah.
All right, so we've talked about Jameis Winston. If he's gonna play. Let's say Jameis Winston doesn't play. How's his team going
to beat
the Bills?
20 carries.
He has to have 20 carries.
Stop playing the other running backs like you are.
What do you mean? You don't want to see Charles Sims in
the
backfield?
Man,
no. Nobody wants to see Charles Sims.
Because the thing is, like, even when they put Charles Sims in the game, like in situations where they have to, if you read the cover three, cool, you understand this.
If you haven't read the cover three.
Or read it.
What did I say, read it?
Yeah.
If you haven't.
Read the cover three as well.
If you haven't Bernard Reedied it.
Read it.
If you haven't Bernard Reedied it.
You need to read it.
Okay. Read it.
One of the situations.
On Reddit. We should start putting stuff on Reddit, by the way.
Okay.
Here, millennials like that.
One of the points that I make is with the running game and how. It seems like even when the Bucs get into third and short, which they don't do nearly as much as they need to be doing, they almost always play shotgun on third down. Doesn't matter if it's third and two, third and six, third and 65. They're always in shotgun, and yet they have the lowest amount of runs from the shotgun in the entire NFL.
You're saying number 32 in the league.
Every single time the Bucs are in shotgun, which they are almost always on third down.
Even third and two.
Yes, they don't run the ball.
That's crazy.
And I think a big reason is because Charles Sims is in the game for a lot of those third downs. They don't trust Charles Sims to run the ball. So then why is Charles Sims in the game? Well, he's a great receiver. He's a good change of pace back. I don't care. If you're not a threat, then guess what? They don't, like, it's basically as if Charles Sims isn't there. At one point in the Arizona game, there's a play that I highlight. It's third and freaking two.
Yeah.
And they send Charles Sims out wide.
Yes.
So now it's five wide.
Right. And that was an audible because the Cardinals showed pressure. Winston audibled.
Right.
And now it's gone from the, they're probably going to pass the ball to empty set. So,
oh, okay.
Oh,
now
they're definitely going to pass
gonna
the ball.
Guess what happened? They didn't get it and they punted.
I think that was the play that Jameis Winston got hurt on. And the one thing I noticed on that.
Oh, yeah, it might have been.
One thing I noticed on that was that he was in the shotgun and then he actually took two steps back.
Like
from getting the ball. And it's like when you're in third and two, and you wrote about this in your cover three and also showed some Rams footage.
He write about it in his cover three.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Eric Wright.
Winston needs to get the ball from shotgun, snap.
Hike the ball, 1-2, plant and foot, it's gone.
Plant and it's gone. Instead, he backs up twice.
It's like a five-step, three-step drop from the shotgun.
Now he's 7 yards from the line of scrimmage. And, of course, there's no one open. So he tries to scramble, and that's when Chandler Jones caught up with him.
And that's not necessarily like a Jameis thing. That's obviously what he's being told. It's not like Jameis is hiking and retreating immediately because that's not what he's being told. But it's like the play design. And I think the reason for that is, again, it goes into the next point of he is dropping back that far because there are not quick routes opening up.
Yes.
There were not within. If you're playing third and two and you go five wide.
How many yards you need on that
situation? Third and two, I think you need two.
Yards
two.
And one inch.
So
two.
That's correct. So if you are playing five wide, if you want to get fancy and play five wide on third and two, I don't hate it, but at least two of your routes have to be open, designed to be open.
You mean like a drag?
With
like
a drag,
slant?
A slant, and an in, like something. And it's got to be like close towards the middle of the field because if you think about it.
I prefer a double move in that situation.
Yeah, sure. play action, double move, mm-hmm. right?
Go
yeah,
route.
Yeah, right. So, because
play action without a running back.
Even if you call.
You should try that. Really throw people off. Like, what the hell?
Even if you call.
Is there a ghost out here?
It actually got the defense to pause for a second. It worked because they're like, what the hell?
What if somebody made a tackle on the guy that wasn't there? That would be even funnier. Yeah. He gets up celebrating.
The Bucs actually like to call out routes in that situation, but you have to think about the time it takes for the ball to travel when you do an out route as opposed to something going over the middle.
You mean like the one that Ryan Fitzpatrick threw from his 1 yard line?
Yes. Bingo.
That was a nice out route.
Yeah.
You were paying attention.
Pass.
Yeah.
Yes.
That route was. You ready for it?
Mm-hmm.
Stupid.
Yeah.
It was stupid.
Ill-advised.
Well, I don't know that it was so stupid as the decision to throw the ball when you've got a guy playing that close. And Ryan, I like Ryan. I thought he had a good game. He takes forever to get the ball in his hand.
He's old. He needs the wind-up.
Strength.
He needs the wind-up.
You know?
So
kind of pushes the ball.
He's
sometimes.
Not old. I'd be happy to trade places with Ryan Fitzpatrick.
You know, we're talking about a guy, 14-year veteran, the oldest, you know, guy in the history of the world, apparently. And, you know, technically he could be our son, Scott. He's not that much.
Speak
I mean,
for yourself.
How old is Ryan?
Like 35?
Yeah. Okay, he couldn't technically be our son, unless I started when I was 12.
Unless you're getting frisky in middle school.
Technically, he could be. Never mind. Go ahead.
He'll allow it. So I just think that the play design, whether it's whether it's Winston or Fitzpatrick, like it's got to be – something has to be a lot more efficient with this offense, whether it's stuff over the middle or just running on obvious running downs. And yeah. I think this team is just overthinking the crap
out of it.
Why is
this team not
weapons.
Attacking the middle of the field more?
I don't know.
Isn't that why DeSean Jackson –
They don't have any tight ends,
yes.
Mark. They have no – Oh, wait, that's true.
And
they
don't have any running backs
team.
To catch out of the backfield. They don't
have
any tight ends.
Oh, wait, they have two.
They don't have a good slot receiver. You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're limited.
It truly does not make sense because the middle of the field is the easiest part of the field to attack, and they only go to the sidelines.
Where's Jameis Winston best at throwing at, too? Tight ends across the middle.
Yeah, going back to Nick O'Leary.
Nick O'Leary.
You go back and watch Florida State under Jimbo Fisher. They don't throw deep balls. I mean, Jameis didn't throw, you know, go routes to Kelvin Benjamin. I mean, the guy's, you know, not the fastest guy in the world. Even Rashad Green. I mean, they had some bombs in there, but it was not, you know, it was not a Brad Scott or Mark Richt type offense where it's a vertical passing game. It just wasn't, you know. Yeah. Jimbo threw the ball a lot, but it wasn't 40, 50 yards down the field. It just didn't happen that often. And people wonder why Jameis can't throw the deep ball. He just has never thrown many deep balls, and this team continues to call that when, you know, go away from his strengths at times, which is puzzling. Which, again, we've talked about it. Look, Dirk Koetter can fart more about football than we'll ever know, all right? He's a pretty damn smart guy. But sometimes coaches just overcoach, overthink. And,
yeah, that's true.
You know, and I just beat on the chair here to try and scare you, and it didn't work.
Here's something to consider, too. Now, keep in mind, the Bucs weren't going to have a bye week until week 11, right? So maybe this is a moot point that I'm making.
Here we go.
You ever notice some people call it mute points? Can we just say it's moot?
It's
M-O-O-T.
Moot. Yeah, it's moot. It's
no,
not
like you're
mute.
Muting the point.
That doesn't
no,
make
that's
any
different,
sense.
Though.
No, you guys just don't get it.
But
you don't say somebody's like somebody who can't hear and talk. You don't call them
moots. Yeah, they're moots.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry. If they can't hear, they're deaf.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, specifically explain
reasons,
that to me if you don't mind.
No,
one of the reasons why there's bye weeks is not just for players to get healthy and rest and all that stuff. It's also for teams to self-scout themselves.
Right.
You know, and we saw the Buccaneers really make some big-time adjustments that keyed their second half run during the bye week. This team was 2-3 after beating the Carolina Panthers, and you know, they made some adjustments. It didn't pay off initially with games against the Raiders and the Falcons, but then after that they started to kind of get the ball rolling. And I think that having that bye week and that helps the coaches kind of pause because they don't have to game plan that week and they can really turn their attention inward to themselves. What are our tendencies? What are we doing wrong? How are teams attacking us? And really kind of being able to drill that down rather than game is played on Sunday, you need to review it on Monday, and then boom, you're the coaches, you're in on Tuesday morning, spending all day Tuesday devising game plans that you're going to install on Wednesday.
Right.
And I just wonder if how much the Buccaneers are doing self-scouting, and I know that they have some assistants, not position coaches, but some assistants that are charged with that responsibility. But then how much time does Dirk and Todd Monken and Mike Smith have to really digest that and make those adjustments on the fly? We've seen how this coaching staff, that's not one of their strengths, is making adjustments on the fly. I mean, Exhibit A was the first half of the Cardinals game.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about. They were doing fine. They were down 31-0. I mean, they obviously made some adjustments, and they almost won. And you know, we keep belaboring the offensive performance and the routes and Dirk Koetter's play calling. You talk about some evaluation that needs to be done. Mike Smith has to be spending a lot of time this week trying to figure out what in the hell happened. And was it scheme? Was it mental? What in the world happened to this defense?
I think it's players, too. And I'll tell you why. We have heard from, since the start of the season, past 6 weeks, Mike Smith and Dirk Koetter, the guys in charge of the defense and the offense, used the terms, the cavalry isn't coming,
our guys
are our guys, and that's code for We have inferior talent at certain positions and can't do a damn thing about it.
I think
because there's no saviors on the street.
I think it's
in
code,
October.
Code for them being mad at Jason Light. I'm just saying that. I'm just throwing that out there.
They might be, but again, it doesn't help it even if they are, just because they can't do anything about
it. Can't do anything about it right
there's
now.
There's nobody on the streets right now that's going to come in and make a huge difference as a pass rusher, as a cornerback. And you know, and one of the things I'm writing about in my Fab Five is now the 2016 draft for the Buccaneers is kind of in jeopardy. Mm-hmm. It's looking to be very perilous right now with Vernon Hargraves. And that was the big story yesterday.
Well, but you're not factoring in Roberto Aguayo. In
oh, I'm factoring in now.
Wait, yeah, now you are.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, you know, it's one thing if you miss on Aguayo and Noah Spence ends up being a double-digit sack guy and Vernon Hargraves, let's say he's a quality Brian Kelly-like starter. Mm-hmm. Disappointing because he's the 11th overall pick, that he's not Rondé Barber. But, you know, Brian Kelly, not a bad corner. Certainly a starter on the Super Bowl team, playoff team, et cetera, et cetera. But he's not even that. He's the most picked on, targeted cornerback. He's got 37 targets this year and only one pass defensed. He's got one interception in his 21 NFL starts.
Buccaneers traded back from the 9th to the 11th?
Yes, with the Chicago Bears.
And who did the Bears draft with that 9th pick?
Leonard Floyd, the defensive end out of Georgia.
Yeah, he's no good.
Well, he only has 10 sacks. Yeah. In his first 21 games.
Yeah. Like
22
I said,
games.
He's no good at all.
Go ahead. I take that back. He's only played in 18 games.
Right.
And he's got a forced fumble recovered for a touchdown against Aaron Rodgers, mm-hmm. and he also has a safety.
Yeah.
So
he's a pretty good ball player.
But the Bucs don't need any pass rush.
No, they don't. They're good there. Yeah. Robert Ayers is fine. Trevor?
He's
trying to get my attention for the last 3 minutes.
No,
now you
sorry.
Don't have anything to say.
No, I was just
was my level bad? Was I touching a cord? What
no,
was going
you
on?
Just, you're too relaxed right now.
I'm too relaxed?
The medicine's kicked in.
That's the problem. I didn't take any medicine before the show.
Leaned up and yelled into the mic.
Making these I'm just keeping people awake listening.
No, you are.
To
no, it's good. That's
all right.
Good.
I tell you this. As you get older, you better be taking your medicine, young man. And you'll end up like me.
What does that mean?
You'll
you're
haunting.
Like 100.
Means,
I want to be like
that
you.
That means you'll be haunting this podcast for years.
All right. So coming up on pewterreport.com, Scott does a little 200-word column on Fridays. I can't remember the name of it. Do you remember, Trevor?
The Fantastic
The Blab
4.
The Blab 4?
Yeah.
Something like that. What's
SR's
it called, Scott?
Fab 5.
Yeah. Yeah, SR's Fab 5. It's a new feature, right?
Yes.
You just started it?
Yes.
Started it, what, a year ago?
15 years ago, I guess, like that.
I haven't been paying attention. But Fab 5 coming out on Friday. Go back and check out Trevor's cover 3. You can read it.
Indeed, you can.
And because he did a good job roading it. And so that's a really good – no, it really is a good breakdown of the play calling.
I'll tell you
like
what,
that.
I'm a big fan of Trevor's cover 3s, and I talked to him about this the other day. It's hard when you're doing a weekly column mm-hmm. to hit a home run every single time. Sometimes, you know, you pick a topic – and there's time constraints because you have to get your column done by Tuesday, right, Trevor?
I get it done by Tuesday.
Yeah. And
it's just like Tuesday at like.
What time zone?
You know, I get it done.
What?
I get it. I get
some
it done.
Polynesian island out in the middle of the South.
I get it done by Pacific time zone Tuesday at midnight.
Is there a time zone after the Pacific time?
I've got the text right here.
Actually, yes, there is.
At 1:34 in the morning.
Right.
Pacific, right?
And ask,
right?
And ask me if you guys can proof it.
Hey, can anybody proof this right
sadly,
now, please?
Sadly, I was awake, but I was like, I'm not. No.
I didn't want you to prove it then.
Oh, okay.
You would have put more errors in there.
Yeah, I would have added more errors. I'm glad I liked the
cover 3 because it's a different element. He breaks down the film, does a really good job of just taking a topic. And the thing that I like about it, and I was telling Mark this, is you have a premise that you work with, an idea, a premise that you want to research, but you allow the facts to take you wherever the facts take
this
you.
This one took me a long time because I thought I was going to see one thing, and then I just totally didn't.
Yeah, and you're not looking for just convenient facts to fit your narrative just to make a point. It's like, I think it's this, And sometimes you're like, damn right, it's exactly this, and here's the evidence. Sometimes the evidence is like, damn, it's actually not this, it's way worse, which is what the case was with the Buccaneers passing. So definitely read this cover three. I think it's your best to date, and I've been a huge fan of your work so far.
Thank you.
Yeah, I haven't got around to it. I was insulted in the first section where you said I'm a fool because I don't like the TV show How I Met Your Brother or whatever it's called. Literally called me a fool. I was like, I'm out. I'm done. No more of this nonsense.
I'm going to turn your mic off because that's slander.
Yeah, well, anyway. All right, so we are going to be back. I'm not sure exactly when, either Sunday or Monday, with a reaction to the Buccaneers' win against the Bills with Jameis Winston at quarterback.
Make sure that you go to pewterreport.com on Saturday for our preview and prediction.
Yes, preview and prediction. We'll have another fifth down this week.
Who'd you talk to?
This week, I talked to a couple people. I'm not sure what I'm going to do. I'm probably going to go with T.J. Ward, though.
Okay.
Yeah, T.J. was pretty interesting. So this week it'll be T.J. Ward. You'll get to know him a little bit off the field.
Congratulations. Speaking of Buck safeties, congratulations to Chris Conte.
Yeah.
And his girlfriend, Stephanie.
Who had a baby while he was in Arizona.
Yes.
In the middle of the game.
Third quarter of the game.
No.
And she.
Yes. Is this real?
This is real.
She posted the picture of the baby, and I tweeted on our Pewter Report account, congratulations, Chris Conte, on the birth of your daughter. And guess what he told us? That's how he found out about his daughter, by reading Pewter Report's tweet.
That's right.
What?
Yeah. He was not happy with us at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we broke the news.
We broke the news to Chris Conte that
it's
his daughter was born.
The inside scoop that you're going to get from Pewter Report.
That's exactly right. Actually, that was not true. No, Duke Preston told him after the game.
But, so but she did have his child in the third quarter of the Cardinals game.
Yeah. Now, she wasn't at the game.
No,
fortunately,
she was not.
She was not in the stands having the baby. She was back here in Tampa. So anyway, congratulations to Chris and Stephanie on the birth of their daughter, Charlie. Anyway, all right. Well, we will be back, and we will talk more about the Buccaneers coming up later.
And Ryan Fitzpatrick's performance on Sunday.
Yeah, he's going to look good holding that clipboard with the earpiece in his ear, watching Jameis throw for 350 yards.
He's
going to
throw the ball. Because he can throw the ball.
I will say this. I will say this. The Buccaneers will not win if Jameis starts, if he plays like he practiced today. Because out there, he was holding the ball every time.
Holding the ball
too
long.
He would drop back and just hold the ball. That's not a recipe for success, Jameis.
Well, I'll tell you what. Neither was the play of the defense in practice today. Nobody was making any tackles.
No, I didn't see a single tackle.
Nope.
No, Doug Martin ran for 474 yards in practice today, which is a good sign.
Yeah.
So anyway. All right, we kid. All right, we'll be back later on. I'm Mark Cook for Scott Reynolds and Trevor Sikkema, and we will see you later in the week with another Pewter Nation podcast.